Good morning, Ebenezer. It is just so good to be back with you, being connected. The Lord is amazing. Can you just give him a hand clap of praise or amen in the chat or hallelujah, little emoticons? I want y'all to use some more emoticons just to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Well, if you look at my background, we are going to the examination room today. Yes, we're going to look at our spiritual demeanor, especially as we're in the theme for the year, Living Epistles. How are we as Christians? What should we look like? So I want to encourage you to get ready as we dig in, as we get into the message. I just want to thank you, as always, for just supporting Ebenezer, for praying for Ebenezer, for being there for Ebenezer. The Lord has blessed our community of believers to have this section, this connection, where we can reach out and souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Also want to give a shout out, as we're on this final Sunday of Black History Month, to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So much has been written about him, and I was just thinking, I could read, and we've got the picture of him up there and all of his civil rights things that he's done. But I think a major contribution that has been missed often was his speech writing. Just the way his rhythmics, the way his cadence was done, it has really impacted the African American community, especially those who read speeches. Not just the African American community, but those who are motivational speakers in all communities have picked up this cadence, this rhythm that he had, very a powerful and talented and gifted. So I just thank the Lord for allowing his life to impact us in major ways. And I just praise the Lord for all the African Americans God has used and is still using in our lives today. I want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. So much is going on there. Monday Manna, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, where we're going through excerpts of the book of Genesis. We also have our Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke. It's been an outstanding lesson journey together as we just trek through and look at the life of Jesus. And then on Thursdays at 6 o'clock in person, we have our Bible study where we're going through the Johns, and not exactly sure where we're going next, but it's going to be an epistle. I think maybe First Peter. Don't hold me to that, but I'm just trying to hear the voice of the Lord, which step He wants us to take. But it has been an amazing journey together. And of course, please, please don't stop praying for our services. We have our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service, where the Lord is just doing wonderful, wonderful things, and I just give Him praise for that. Souls are being saved and added to the body of Christ. Finally, I just want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support to the ministry. God loves a cheerful giver. We're actually going to talk a bit about that today in the message as we look at Christians. And I thank you for your support. God has just done so many wonderful things. And I use that wonderful a lot because He has. He is an awesome God. So thank you for being a cheerful giver. Whether you're giving through our app, or you're sending into our secure mailbox, or you're in one of our in-person services, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I am ready to get into the Word. It is going to examine our hearts today, examine our spirits, so that we can know where we stand, especially as we're in this season of darkness that has ascended upon the world. But thank God that He's shining through us, that more souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. Well, we'll see you soon.
All right. This morning I'll be reading from Psalms 138. Verses 3 through 8. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And this is good news, church. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me.
Yes.
Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Every step I make, I'm gonna make it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every step I make, I'm gonna make it, yeah, in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every year, round, it gets a little higher. Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it, yeah, in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every year, round, it gets a little higher. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna pray it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna pray it, yeah, in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every year, round, it gets a little higher. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it
for the Lord.
Every step I take,
I'm gonna make it for Jesus.
I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it for the Lord.
Hills make it high,
I'm gonna make it for Jesus.
Still gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it for the Lord.
Valleys make it low,
I'm gonna make it for Jesus.
Still I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it for the Lord.
I'm gonna make it.
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 In the name of Jesus,
I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it. Sometimes I'm up, I'm gonna make it. Sometimes I'm down, I'm gonna make it. And he's alright, and he's alright. You know he's alright, you know he's alright. Wave your hands, wave your hands. Let the world know inside you own. I'm gonna make it.
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 Can I call him? Can I call him? Somebody call him Mary's baby. Somebody call him a rock. But I call him. I call him Jesus. Jesus. It gets a little
higher.
Woo, woo. Woo. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord is so wonderful. Just hallelujah. Just put those emoticons, if you're sitting in your living room, wherever you are, just lift up those hands. He is wonderful. But we're getting back into this topic that we've been dealing with, the life of the believer. Really looking at what we should look like. You know, what are some foundational points in a Christian's life? Especially in this season of time, there are so many things that are going on in our society. And I'm telling you, the world needs to see true Christians who love the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and are portraying the traits of a Christian. This is powerful as we're dealing with those that are around us. Memory scripture, I want to get back into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to read it aloud with me so, again, we can get it into our minds and it can seep into our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3, 2-3, let's read together. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And that is powerful. That is powerful that God has saved us to be walking Bibles, walking letters of Him. Today's lesson, I want to go into the book of Galatians. Galatians, I want us to focus in on that 6th chapter and the 4th verse. And while you're getting there, getting yourself prepared to go through this portion of Scripture, I ask you to go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you so much again for allowing us to be connected in this form. Lord, when I just think about technology and how it's advanced, I thank you that we can use this to glorify you, that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Lord, if there's someone looking in that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised him from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, I pray that they receive that gift of grace from you today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and therefore I welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher, so would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat, just say amen, amen. Let's go to that Galatians chapter 6 and 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Listen to that again in Galatians 6, 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I want to speak from a title today, Examine Yourself. Examine Yourself. If you were with us in that pre-part of just talking about Ebenezer and the events that are going on, I had a background that we were actually in the doctor's appointment room where many of us have gone for exams. Today we're going to really focus on our spiritual health. When you go into an examination room with our physical, they take your blood and look in your ears and check your heart rate. And then when you get those tests back, they can tell if you got high cholesterol, if you got prostate issues, all of these things. There's a test. And then if you pass, you get normal and you move on to the next year, or you move on to the next time you go. But just think, if there was a test for if we are true Christians, if we are truly saved, what would that look like? And I'm glad you're asking that question, because today, as we get into this section of scriptures, we're going to see that. It's a test to see if we're truly saved, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Time frame is AD 49. Paul the Apostle in the South Galatian area. And he's ministering to the saints. He's ministering to those who truly know Christ. But he's also setting a standard, as the Spirit is speaking to his heart, of what we should look like. These living epistles as we are walking in the Lord. Jumping right into this section on Galatians 6:1, says, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Wow. Here's our first point. Restoration. Restoration. As we're looking at the life of the believer and just what we should look like, this is an hallmark of a believer's life is restoration. Restoration in the Greek, this restore word, is a picture of a doctor actually setting a bone back in place that's been broke. Now, I know many of us have seen movies where somebody breaks something, then somebody comes along and just kind of snaps it back in and they kind of go on. But this actually takes skill to make sure that bone is aligned and put back in place. And this is the same picture of restoration or restoring someone to the fellowship in a way of grace and mercy towards them. Our lives are characterized. When you think of a believer, it should be one of the big pictures that come up, that they're forgiving, they're loving, and they want to restore us. I got a picture, and that picture is a 69 Camaro RS350 for those who love cars. It's actually the same car. One is really messed up. The second picture is that car that's really messed up being restored. And that's the picture that God wants us to be as believers, that we're actually reaching out as God is transforming us. We must realize that there are some others that are part of the body that look pretty rough. Any amens out there? They're going through some stuff, some struggles. Some have not come into the fold yet, but God knows who they are. And so we have to be very careful as believers to never forget where God brought us from. Any hallelujahs out there? We can never forget. Now, we come from different platforms, different backgrounds. Some of us went through some tough lives, and we know about the saving grace of God. Some of us were raised in good families. We had great morals, but we still realized that we needed a Savior. And so in this process, as we're dealing with others, never forget the grace and mercy that God has shown towards us and how He's used other people in our lives to reach out to encourage us. Let's look closely again at this Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, look at that second part, focusing in, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, kindness. So often as believers, if we forget the grace that God showed us, we won't show that grace to others. But we should be gentle as people are going through. You don't know what it took them to get to the place that they're at. And even if they're trying to walk and become more like Christ, sometimes their struggles can be tremendous. There can be some addictions. There can be some problems. And so we have to be gentle in that, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We got to have that mindset, even as we're going into gentleness, to restore, to reset that broken bone, that we don't fall into that same line, that we don't find ourselves in a place that's not lifting up the Lord. We've got to examine ourselves. Galatians 6:2 goes on to bring out another powerful characteristic of the believer. It says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here's the point. Burden-bearing believer. I actually was going to use that as the title of this section of scripture, because it talks a lot about that. I just couldn't imagine myself having to say it over and over again. Burden-bearing believer. But it is so true. This is a foundational point of who we are as we examine ourselves. Our lives should constantly show forth that we go to help and assist other people to bear burdens. Oftentimes, I find people who are running away from helping and assisting people. But if God has blessed you, you got to take time to reach out to others. It is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cause you to deviate from the things that you want, but it's all worth it. Theologian A. Farstead, he writes this, burdens refers to failures, temptations, testings, and trials. Instead of standing off at a distance and criticizing, here it is, we should fly to the side of a brother in trouble or distress and help him in every possible way. Saints, I want you to ask yourself this question as you're examining yourself. Are you a burden-bearing believer? Have you come to the point of really wanting to come alongside to help people and not criticize? So often there's a sin that we don't look at in the Christian life. It is gossip. We can talk about people. We can put down people. But God doesn't want us to gossip. God wants us to realize all of us have fallen fallen short of the kingdom of God. All of us have messed up and we need the forgiveness of the Lord. 1 John 1:9 talks about this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to examine ourselves. And then I want you to think about, whose burden have you helped out recently? Who have you actually helped to carry that burden recently within your life? Whose burden have you made lighter because you've decided, hey, you know what, God, you're using me to reach out to encourage that person. The Apostle Paul, he had to deal with this as he was introduced into the church. Many Christians did not like him. They were afraid of him simply because he was the one who was dragging people off. He was the one that was trying to pull down the name of Christ. But in Acts 9:26, we see an amazing thing. It said, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But look at that 27th verse. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you think about that whole process, Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that's what his name means, coming alongside and actually assisting. I remember in the military, that there was a time that when we were in basic training, we had to take big packs on our backs, our backpacks, and we used to put all these things on the inside. It was a burden, but I was called to be a leader, and I was leading people, and I had to pick up other people's packs sometime to relieve their burdens as they were struggling or they were going through. In the same respect, if I was going through, others had to pick up my burden to assist and help me through. And that's the life of believers. As we're burden-bearing believers, as we're focusing on the Lord, we need to examine ourselves. When we are strong, somebody else may be weak, and vice versa. When we are weak, we need somebody else strong within our lives. Examine ourselves as Christians. Look at Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Here's the point. I want you to get this one word, humility. Can you put that in the chat? Humility. Very powerful word, humility. St. Augustine said this, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. I want to read that again to you. This is a powerful quote. It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. This is critical. Oftentimes, as the Lord has blessed us, saved us, delivered, taken us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we have to be careful that pride doesn't rise up, that we think it was because we were so great and we were so strong. We always have to have an attitude of humility and knowing if it had not been for the Lord on our sides. And amen. Romans 12:3 talks about this. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, here it is, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We have to be sober as believers to realize that please, the only reason we are what we are is by God's grace and his mercy, always taking a pathway of humility. As believers, we can never, and I've said this earlier, never forget God's grace that he's shown towards us. As Paul speaks of this wonderful grace in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace, can you put grace in the chat? G-R-A-C-E, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Isn't that wonderful what the Lord has done within our lives? As we examine ourselves, we realize that we're walking in humility because all the praise, glory goes to Him. Therefore, as we're walking in that path of humility, we can touch the lives of others. Looking at this closely, Galatians 6:5, for each one shall bear his own load. Now notice there's a twist in this. This load in the Greek is known as phortion, phortion. That's the kind of the spelling of it. And what it means is it's the picture that I talked about earlier of a soldier carrying a burden for someone. Yeah, that same picture of the military assisting and helping out. We can see this same trend throughout these scriptures, this burden bearing. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28 about this, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, the Lord is saying, I want you to come to me. And as you're helping others, as we dealt with the other scripture, burden bearer believers, as we're doing that, we also realize that God gives us something to carry. Must Jesus bear the cross along and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So in this walk of humility, there is a cost. Christ speaks of this in Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me," here it is, "let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Examine yourself. Are you in this path of humility that you're taking up the cross daily and realizing, Lord, I want to be used for your glory. God, I want to be that picture of the believer living in this dark society that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Examine yourself. Look at Galatians 6:6. "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap." Galatians 6:8. "For he who sows to his flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Here's the next point, sharing in the Spirit. Yes, sharing in the Spirit. I want you to get this. Believers are givers. Can you put that in the chat? Wherever you're sitting at, just say givers. I am a giver. If you're sitting beside someone who's a believer, just tell them, say, believers are givers. It is a part of who we are. This has nothing to do with our economic status, background, how much money is in your bank account, where you live at, how big your house is or how small your house, what kind of car you drive. If you are a Christian, you are a giver. It is a part of who we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This whole giving process has been entwined within us via the Holy Spirit. We look for opportunities to share the blessings that God has given us. Can I say that again? We should be looking for opportunities to share the blessings that God has given us. As we look at our houses, many of us have too much stuff. We have too many things. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Maybe God has allowed me to have these things so I can give, so I can bless others. We live in a society, if you're with me in the United States, if you're looking and you're not in the United States, all I can speak about is the existence here. We have been tremendously blessed. We can go to Goodwill and get things on tremendous discounts that are of great quality. And so many times we find people hoarding these things when God has called us to be givers. Our lives are actually characterized by sowing to the Spirit. This process of sowing is so, so important because God wants to lead us for a great increase. Let me show you in Galatians 6:7 again. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap." Now this is critical. As we are examining ourselves, I want you to ask yourself, how is my giving? Yeah, I'm talking about physically now, or maybe monetarily, physically giving. When is the last time that you blessed someone? When is the last time that you gave? This is a critical part of who we are. God, again, blesses us to be a blessing. We put good seeds in the ground so that they will come up. And I want you to know this is a spiritual foundation point of the believer. We put the good seeds in the ground, they will come up. Seeds are powerful. Can you type real quickly in that chat? Powerful. They are powerful. Let me show you. Evangelist Karen Jensen, she said this: you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. You see that picture? I want you to get that. It took me a little bit to really focus in and process that. You can count the seeds in an apple. You can count the seeds. One, two. You can count those seeds, but you can't count the apples in a seed. We don't know how many apples are going to come out of that seed. The same way is with our sowing in our lives, as we're sharing as believers, as we're giving as believers, as we're burden bearer believers, as we're doing all of these things for restoration. We come to the point of examining ourselves and finding out and seeing what God is doing in us, or those places where we need to repent and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Look at Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This is a strong one. I want you to get this one. Perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance is actually defined as persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I want to read that again to you. Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Examine yourself. These last few years have been tough for a lot of us. COVID, it's still around. We're learning to deal with that. Our habits have been changed. All of these things, we're seeing a rise of just hideous crime in our community. We've got this Russian-Ukraine war that's going on. But I want you to know, we can't give up as Christians during this season. This is the time that persistence should come forth as we're examining our spiritual demeanor. We've got to ask the Lord, God, I want to stay strong. I don't want to back off. I want to go towards that mark. I want to speed up as I'm trying to be transformed to the likeness of the Lord. Our lives are rooted in this thought of being able to persevere. Notice Galatians 6:9. It said, let us not grow weary in doing good. How many Christians are weary right now? How many have just kind of gotten up? They're not really going out and embracing others. They're not connected to those that are around us. I'm telling you, there must be a change in our lives as we examine ourselves. We have to persevere. We should not be running out of energy. There should be more energy infused in us as we're depending on the power of the Lord. It said, with God, all things are possible. Notice it said, for in due season, we shall reap. The issue with this whole perseverance, we have to press through. We have to trust the Lord, because many times we don't see the seeds coming up. Many times we don't see the harvest in that process, but it says in due season. We don't know when due season is, but we got to trust him. We walk by faith and not by sight. I want to encourage you, whatever situation is going on in your life, persevere. Whatever struggles that you're having right now, just persevere. Whatever relationship issues you're going through, just persevere. Examine yourself and know that God is working something wonderful on the inside of you. Please understand, a diamond just doesn't turn into a diamond. There's a process of years and years that calls that diamond to produce. And maybe through this perseverance process, God is forming something beautiful in your life. There ought to be some amen, some hallelujah, some thank you, Lord. As we persevere, we examine ourselves. The life of the believer can be tough, but please understand, it is worth it. Yes, it is worth it. Notice as we go to this Galatians 6:10 and pull it all together. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Can you just type good? This is a powerful one. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, G-O-O-D, to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Final point. I want to pull this together real strong. Connect it to the fellowship. Yes, connect it to the fellowship. As we're looking at the life of the believer, really seeing what are these traits of believer? Am I saved? Am I truly doing what God would have me to do? This connection to the fellowship is critical. We are connected to the body of Christ. Yes, you can't go at this alone. No man's an island. And I know we've got this virtual connection. Thank God for that. We've got many that are connecting. But you got to be able to reach out to some people from time to time. Embrace them. Even as we're dealing with our social media and the crisis that's going on with Facebook and Twitter and TikTok. We've got a lot of media that's out there. But people are missing out on the embrace, the touch of real people. It's amazing that you can have thousands of friends on Facebook and not talk to anybody in a physical sense. We have to make sure we need to that embrace, that connection. And as believers, we long to be with other believers. We long to be with other people that can sharpen us and encourage us and let us know it's going to be. We long to hear the testimony of how people are being saved and brought to the knowledge of truth, seeing people grow because it helps us to grow. John Wesley said it like this: do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. Can I read that again to you? Do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. I'm talking about connected to the fellowship. We are the body of Christ. Would you just scream out body? Would you put in the chat body? I want to show you something here as we're examining ourselves. We are connected. We cannot live without the body. Let me show you. A contemporary English version really brings this out in 1 Corinthians 12:19. It said a body isn't really a body unless there is more than one part. Amen. It takes many parts to make a single body. I was looking at this interesting article a few months ago, and it just amazed me. It was this man, and he had to have have his body surgically removed. I didn't even know it could be. I mean, literally, hips were gone, and right under his rib cage, that's where they had to cut off the bottom of his body. He had some kind of disease, and I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't. It just looked strange, but I wasn't used to seeing it like this. I'm like, how can a person live like this? And they told all the things that they had to do, but the major part, they said, of this body, bringing it forth so that he could live. And even as he had lost the lower portion of his body, they were concerned because there were some balances with his blood and his heart that they were trying to work out. And they said that he wouldn't live long. And eventually he did pass away early because he needed all of his body. This is the same thing as we're making a spiritual example, 1 Corinthians 12:21. That's why the eyes cannot say they don't need the hands. That's also why the head cannot say it doesn't need the feet. 1 Corinthians 12:22. In fact, we cannot get along without the parts of the body that seem to be the weakest. We take special care to dress up some parts of our bodies. We are modest about our personal parts, but we don't have to be modest about other parts. God put our bodies together in such a way that even the parts that seem the least important are valuable. Yes, connected to the fellowship. Examine yourself. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 12:25. He did this to make all parts of the body work together smoothly, with each part caring about the others. Burden-bearing believers, restoration, humility, all of these things together, sharing in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part of our body hurts, we hurt all over. If one part of our body is honored, the whole body will be happy. Persevering in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:27, together you are the body of Christ. Together, somebody say together, type it in the chat, together you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of his body. Examine yourself. As we examine ourselves, we realize that it's all about Jesus. It's all about the burden bearer coming from heaven to earth, walking among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. I just want to pull out some points that I'm thinking about now. You remember that when he walked amongst people, he actually stopped by a well, and there he saw a Samaritan woman, and it wasn't even in that society for him to talk to her. She was outside of his communication point, but God, the Father, led him to that well, and he began to talk to her, tell her about issues within her life. And when she left, she went out and told the people, said, let me tell you about a man who told me everything in my life. I'm telling you, that is a giver, a lover, a God that would stop by even someone with hideous sin. Remember that woman that was thrown in front of him, caught in the very act of adultery, and they wanted Jesus, they stoned her, but Jesus bent down. I'm talking about examine yourself. He said, he who was out sin, let him cast the first stone. And you know what? The oldest to the youngest, they began to walk away because they thought about their issues. They thought about their sins. And I'm telling you, when Jesus got up and looked at the woman, he said, woman, where are your accusers? Then he says, you know what? Go your way and sin no more. I'm talking about examine yourself. I'm so glad for a God that didn't stop there. But we find him going to the Garden of Gethsemane praying for us. He prayed, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long, goes to Calvary, and there he carries our burdens. Yes, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm talking about examine yourself. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory for us, so that we could, on a daily basis, examine ourselves, because he's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And there are traits, characteristics of believers that God is growing and wants the world to see, that we are changed, that we are different. Saints, I encourage you, I'm speaking to you today, to examine yourself. Ask yourself, go back through this message and say, am I doing these things? Am I persevering? Am I sharing? Am I connected to the fellowship? Have I been a burden bearer believer? God, am I doing these things? And if you're not, I encourage you to repent and cry and say, God, change me. Make me more like you. God, order my steps. Help me to hear your voice and walk in it. Saints, this is our season. God is calling us to higher heights. God is calling us to be able to impact those that are around us. There's so many people that are going through, so many people who are hopeless, so many people that are so at a low state, they're willing to take other people with them. Saints, we've got to step up. We've got to speak and know our testimony that we've been saved and shared with others, and let them know that Jesus is still in the saving business. If you're looking in, listening in, and you don't know Christ, I want you to know Christ loves you. Yes, as believers, as we're examining ourselves, Christ loves you. Yes, he wants to restore you. He wants to save you. He wants to connect you with a family, an everlasting family. All you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be saved. Only Christ can do that. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Would you ask him into your heart? And I'm telling you, your life will not be the same. As we examine ourselves and we grow more in the Lord, I'm telling you, God wants to be lifted up in our society, lifted up in the world. He wants to be glorified. Saints of God, so many times we miss that attitude of humility we talked about. But as we examine ourselves, I am seeing a season of revival, that more souls are coming to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word. So many levels of it. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that convicts us, that leads us, that guides us. Oh, that our hearts be softened more and more. Help us to be transformed, to be those living epistles. Lord, we want to betray trueness of Christianity, that we are saved, that we are your children, and that you have left us here, that more can be welcomed into your family. Father, I thank you for this day that we can listen to your word. We can connect. But Lord, help us as you gave that great commission to go out to share the good news that souls can be brought in. Lord, we thank you for your mercy in our lives. Thank you for your forgiveness and thank you for your grace. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We all gather here in your presence, Lord, with our arms open wide, with lifted hands and with open hearts, we welcome you to abide.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord,
we need your spirit,
we need your spirit, right now,
right now.
Oh Lord, give us your spirit,
give us your spirit,
your Holy
Spirit.
Until you come, dear Lord, for we are so unworthy to even call on your name. So please, 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 dear Lord, hear our prayer and don't let our coming be in vain. Hello.
We need your spirit.
We need your
spirit.
Right now.
Right now.
Oh,
Lord.
Give us your spirit.
Give us your spirit.
Your Holy Spirit.
Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Spirit,
fall from
everything that I say, Lord. I need you in my home. And even when I'm riding down the dangerous highways,